You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What is good? Look at this. I'm in America. Alexis,
right,
is out. He went out to the land of the colonizers, I guess.
Bro, the conquistadors' cousins. I'm out here in jolly old England, mate.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get my focus going.
I'm just out here teaching people how to speak English, bro. They don't get it.
They're gonna learn it from you, of all people. It's pretty incredible,
right? Bro, also, we need a regular ass cup of coffee up in this goddamn city. I finally found one place that does just like a regular old drip coffee, as they call it out here, filter coffee. And I was like, honestly, thank you. I'm like, you ain't adding water to this. Promise me you ain't adding water. And they're like, no. Just in the brewing process. I was like, all right, I will pay you 75,000 pounds for this if you ask me to.
John Carl Tritt, what's good? Says, don't want Everton to go down. I'll miss beating them in the derby twice a year. Okay. But that's not the kind of energy we need right now. Okay.
Everyone saw the title. Everyone saw the thumbnail. We already know what's going on. Paolo Nelson said, everyone, please hit that like button on your way in and fasten your seatbelts. Thank you very much. Keep your hands inside the ride at all times, bro.
Okay, you got to do one of these. Just cross.
Yeah, Wakanda. Just Wakanda. Give me a bro, you got me looking like a ghost up in here. Why am I so pale, bro?
That's your camera, dude. I don't know. That's what happens when you go to England, bro. The whiteness rubs off on you.
Just before this, I FaceTimed with wifey, and I look clean as I look. I think they compress on FaceTime. I look skinnier. I look a little tan. The barbershop haircut was hidden. Now I look like I'm dying, bro.
Damn. You look like you're covered in formaldehyde, bro.
Bro, I look like I came here and I'm slowly becoming goth. I got bit by a goth guy. A radioactive goth guy on the tube. On the tube, mate.
USL meme said Miami FC kit looking good. That's right. Yeah, shouts to Miami FC who sent us some kits.
Lost to Inter Miami in the US Open Cup.
Okay, that happens. Inter Miami, they're a brand new team, but you know this is Prem Show, so we'll focus on that tomorrow. Today we focus on all things Premier League, European football, mate. Alexis is in London right now, and
I'm out here. I'm close to Europe. They asked to leave. So I'm in England. I'm close to Europe. And shouts to Eagle Eye Football, who said Alexis got the trim. Shouts to Slider Cuts. They did the thing. I got linked up with a dude named HD Cuts, who apparently cuts like every Premier League footballer's haircut.
I go to 4K Cuts, but you do what you do what you want to do. I mean,
I'm out here. I mean, they only charge $10.80. So it's pretty good. Actually, they charge 1080p. Get it? Because P is, come on now.
All right, we're doing it.
Come on now. It sells itself. I finally got my haircut. I was waiting for HD Cuts to hit me back up, but apparently he's in demand and very busy. So a bunch of people told me, like, yo, you got to go to Slider Cuts. They did their thing. But also shouts to Eagle Eye Football, because guess what? I got, not only did I get a drink, we watched the fight with Eagle Eye Football, but also our boy Brushy 87.
Whoa!
What?
The homies. Everybody in the chat is like, yo, I wanna see these guys in HD. I wanna see them in person.
And okay. I'm like, did someone say HD Cuts? Please respond to me. But yeah, dude, the boy Brush came through. I didn't even ask him his real name. I called him Brushy the whole damn time.
He's like, yo, no government. You don't need to know all that about. I mean, I mess with y'all in the chat, but I ain't giving you too much info.
Yeah, you ain't need to know all that. You don't need to know all that. Also, I don't know if you can see the hat right there.
Uh huh.
I went to Fresh Ego Kid.
Oh, okay.
It's the brand you see. Every content creator in England wears this brand.
Right, right.
I went, they hooked me up with a hat. It was dope. You showed love to the cooligans out here.
Look at that. You love to see it. Thank you for everybody in England being kind to Alexis.
Trish Murphy's husband is the name in the chat. So pretty soon the whole family going to be up in this chat. Trish Murphy's husband said 1080p is funny. Shouts to Trish Murphy's husband already coming in with gold.
So Trish Murphy and Trish Murphy's husband are two separate accounts, I'm assuming.
Why would you have to assume that? Why wouldn't you just immediately be able to acknowledge that?
Could this be Trish Murphy posing as Trish Murphy's husband? Is that a thing Trish Murphy would do?
Or is this Trish Murphy's husband being really bad at making burner accounts?
She'll never know.
I got an idea.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us. As always, we're here every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian. That is Alexis. He is in London. I am not in London. I am in America, okay?
That's right. So, where we belong.
Okay. Where everybody in London keeps telling Alexis to go back to, okay?
Okay, we have an update. Trish Murphy's husband just said on his phone, he's driving. So this is Trish Murphy.
on
Trish Murphy's husband's account, which is called Trish Murphy's husband, but it's not Trish Murphy's husband. It's just Trish Murphy.
Which is probably more incredible, and it makes me happier that Trish Murphy's husband has an account that says Trish Murphy's husband. You know what I mean? That's pretty, the bond. It's like, you know, it's almost like when breaking
Did
the...
Did someone throw a plate?
Helene, she dropped something in the sink. Helene just got back from her bachelorette party in Miami.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
You have to take a pregnancy test, bro.
Okay, I don't think I'm the father.
How was it? Did she go to a kale farm? What was the festivities?
They went to like vegan restaurants. They went to a Cuban restaurant, which she enjoys. She told me she
liked
that.
Did she get kicked out when she started saying, "I don't eat carbs, I don't eat sugar, I don't eat dairy"? And they're like,
"Okay, also you can't scream because the AirPods are not very good with when it gets very loud. When it gets to Alexis volume."
Oh, I guess it's not made for me then. Maybe I could lower the input.
Maybe. And Ice Cold Brew said Dancing Bear goal celebration, which I think is a reference to a stripper, I'm assuming, but I don't know.
Isn't that what's his face?
That's Will Bruin. But Will also Bruin. Could be a stripper. Who knows?
How's my volume? Is it too low?
Volume is good. Hey, you're just fine.
All right, cool. So now if I scream, it shouldn't.
USL meme said that Miami kit is suspect now. Good. Good.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad I got your support. Everybody's on the case.
What kind of a husband will you be? Let me ask. What kind of fiance were you? Were you the, hey, you didn't call me last night?
Oh my goodness! No, I've
during
never,
the honeymoon.
I've never been that during the honeymoon.
You know what I mean. I'm sorry. During the bachelorette party.
Sure. No. I'm very. You know. I give her a very long leash, Alexis. It's very, very long.
The word leash and wife don't usually go together, my friend. I'm gonna let you know that now.
It's about 5,000 feet long. All right. A lot of trust. All right, but not too much trust. A lot of trust, yeah. Though.
How many times did she call you during, how many days did she go away? Three?
Four.
Four? How many times did y'all communicate? Not via text. So FaceTimes and phone calls.
Three? Three out of the four. And then the other one was text. So reasonable. Was that bad?
that's when the strip club was like, we're gonna close the doors, but you guys could stay in.
No, she had fun. She was with her friends and her sisters. So it's all good.
Nice.
It's all good.
Tell her I hope she had fun.
Okay,
Alexis, I'm not invited to the bachelor party, so I guess you'll tell me how that goes.
No, I don't even know if I'm gonna have one. I'm like on the fence about it.
You know what? I'll just get. I'll just find like a bottle, like I'll get like a thing with herpes on it, and I'll rub it on you just so it feels like you went to a bachelor party. That's,
yeah, those are usually available. Are those over the counter at the pharmacy or what? Like
just here you don't even see a doctor for this year.
Really? Okay, so
just the Jamal. Some Jamal who said he saw me on Saturday at the Emirates. Yo, I had a blast at the Emirates. And when I saw Troops, I'm like, how you feel about Arteta now, huh? Mm. How you feel about Arteta now, Troops?
Troops posted photos. He was like with his son and family.
They were like in a suite.
A family outing. The upgrade. Troops, you know.
A nice Cobra said bachelor party in cut. Hey, Joe Whitlock said the exact same thing.
Did he?
Back.
Amazing.
Bro, is a nice cold brew Joe Whitlock on Trisha Murphy's husband's phone, bro?
So hello everybody, let's get started because we can do this all day. We obviously, there's a lot of stories we'll share, and Alexis will talk about his time in London and at the Emirates. But hello, yes, we are the Cooligans. This is Prem Show. Anything we do this.
Christian doesn't want to mess with his dork. we're gonna need a legend for the show that explains what all these things mean.
Just literally like almost like a translation under everything that we say with a little, you know, it bouncing. So the yes, anything that you would like us to talk about, European football related, please put it in the chat. If you're listening to this podcast, yes, we're here on YouTube Live, youtube.com/soccercooligans every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and Tuesday, where we talk about American soccer. So we have to start with let's start with what's in the title and the thumbnail. You all see it. Frank Lampard is in the mud right now. Everton are having a little bit of they're in the relegation zone. So right now,
No. They're not in the relegation zone. They're in a relegation position.
Well, no, this
relegation
is
just zone feels like someone who can slip into the relegation position. You are in relegation right now.
No, this is the relegation zone. It's like the friend zone. You don't want to be in there. You know what I mean? It's bad. Mm. They are.
By the way, you did get some advice that said, please don't invite Jiz Hornkamp to your bachelor party, says Nick Red. Don't worry, I heard Jiz Hornkamp was all over the bachelorette party.
No, he's a family friend. He has to be there.
He's on table one at the wedding.
let's discuss. Everton lost to Liverpool, which most people expected. They lost 2-0.
I actually thought Everton would at least be able to draw. I thought Everton would defend bravely and be able to sneak out a 0-0.
And they did.
And for a moment there, for the first half, it looked like it might.
Yes, there was. They were bravely defending. It was a hard fought effort in that first half, but then, you know, they brought in Origi, they brought in Luis Diaz, and then that's when it becomes unfair because this is, you know, remember when we were talking about.
Wait, hold on. Who are your backups?
Who can you
bring in?
This is what I'm saying. Remember when we were, when, you know, you're of the, you know, we should have five subs, and I'm like, it's a little bit unfair. And mm-hmm. I don't even think Liverpool should have three subs. You know what I mean? We should really limit. How many
that's
subs?
That's not a bad idea. If you're first in the table, you only get two subs. That's not a bad idea.
This is, you know, if you're not going to have a salary cap, this is the way to bring in some parity. You know, if you're in first place, maybe you get zero subs or one. And then as you.
Second place gets two. Third place, they get the three. Fourth place gets four. Everyone else gets five.
Boom.
Boom.
We fixed it. Please.
You're welcome. Also, can you retroactively do that and take away the goals for Origi?
But no, you know, once in that second half, it was gonna be difficult regardless for Everton. And I think most people didn't expect them to win, even Everton fans. And I think that performance in that first half was pretty impressive. I thought, you know, you see the possession numbers. It was like 13%.
You had 17% possession, bro.
It was brutal. But
I think they actually helped you by counting when you guys were throwing the ball to the Liverpool player for throw-ins. You were handing it to them. They're like, all right, give him that.
I thought it was a good. I thought tactically it was the right decision, and it felt like a true acceptance of we know what we are. We know we're not as good as this team, and we're just going to accept that. And honestly, Everton should have been playing like this in, November, bro. Just stop conceding goals.
You were ready to shut it down. They should have been. Three months into the season.
They should have been.
Clamp it.
Because the game against Liverpool, it is what it is. It would have been it would have been really, really difficult to get a result. I thought it was possible. But once they gave up the first goal, that's when you knew it was it seemed to be out of sight. But the bigger frustration is that Burnley won. Burnley won against who did they play? Not West Ham.
I thought it was West Ham, actually.
Maybe it was West Ham. They won their game.
Well, no, because I think West Ham actually won, didn't they?
No, West Ham won against Southampton? Who was it? Villa? Let's see who they played. Jesus. Burnley. Their last match was...
I don't even see them having played here.
Wolves,
they play
Wolves. They won against Wolves.
Oh, yeah. They beat Wolves 1-0.
So this... I'm watching this game, and I'm just like...
Bay Area Guna says, Everton are dusty as hell.
Bro, don't...
Everton are about to be put in the basement, bro.
Yo, look. It was interestingly, it's interesting seeing how the Everton players are responding. Richarlison put out a Instagram story saying, telling the fans, hey, we need you in back at Goodison. We're going to get ourselves out of this situation. Anthony Gordon was really frustrated with the lack of, he got yellow carded for diving, but he felt that there was probably one play that probably should have been a penalty that wasn't called, that Joel Matip pushed him over. But he got early in the game, he got the moniker or whatever, that he's a diver. And the ref was just like, this, I can't, boy who cried wolf. I can't trust.
Didn't get it out of his head.
Yeah.
Dennis Higgins said Everton needs Jesus. Yeah.
Gabriel Jesus. Hopefully he doesn't go to Arsenal.
Come on down, bro.
Forget Arsenal. Go over to Goodison.
So here's the thing. Players said that they're going to get out of this situation.
Richarlison
Richarlison said that. So here's my question to you, Christian. One, do you believe that? Do you believe they will get out of this situation?
I think they have a better opportunity than Burnley does. Burnley, they're not that good. But I can't. It's just difficult to fathom that we're worse than Burnley, bro.
Also, they're getting the new manager bump, which I think you're still waiting for. So fine, let's do this. Let's count how many points we've done this before. But I want to know: is this enough to get out of it? Let's count the points. Everton versus Chelsea. How many points are you taking from that? You're at home.
At home, I think this is a chance to win. I think there's three points here.
Let's go 3 points. Sunday, May 8th, Leicester. You head to Leicester. What's going to happen? They beat you recently, a couple weeks ago.
No, it was a draw.
You drew 1-1.
Yeah. This is another one where I think we can win.
Jamal keeps hitting you with the only pool you're playing next season is Blackpool. So you think you're going to win Chelsea and Leicester?
Yes, I do think we could win those. I'm not trying to be delusional. We beat Manchester United. Chelsea lost. They only won 1-0 to
yesterday. Beat Manchester United. Arsenal didn't play well and beat Manchester United. So all right, look, I'll give you the six points. Chelsea, 6 points for the next two matches would be
USL
would probably
memes.
Secure you.
USL memes. Thank you for the subscription. Also, please hit the subscription button here on YouTube. We are 8 away from 4,000. So if you haven't subscribed, please do that.
Please. How the hell did we not hit 4,000 yet? That's crazy. please hit the subscription button. Everybody at the barbershop I was at followed and subscribed. So you should too. All right. So it's the next two matches you think you're going to win. 6 points from Chelsea at home. 6 points away to Leicester. Away to Watford.
This is a must win. I mean, that has to be 3 points.
I mean, all right. You're at 9 points from three games.
No. So, okay. So, look, Chelsea, I think, so if let me amend it. It's just that at home, we're so much better at home. The away games is when we will most likely lose. So, Chelsea have not been that great the last couple weeks. They won 1-0 yesterday.
Screamer at the
so
end.
So don't and they like, lost. You know. Chelsea just lost to.
Remember who broke Chelsea though?
Arsenal,
remember
right?
Who broke Chelsea though.
They you know looked pretty substandard in Champions League. Look, there's an opportunity here, and it's not like teams you know go to Goodison Park and just straight up dominate. That doesn't really happen that often. Everton are bad. We all know this, but there's a chance here for at least a result. I think getting a point against Chelsea is possible. It's not impossible.
You think Frank Lampard keeps this style of play, this park bus kind of CONCACAF-y, kind of dark arty?
He didn't play Yeramina against Liverpool because he just got back from injury. He didn't want to overplay him. And because the game against Chelsea will be more, there's more of a chance to get a result than against Liverpool. The fact that Everton didn't give up a goal against Liverpool in the first half is a minor miracle. That Mason
Holgate. Like, can we stay up just because of that?
It was Mason Holgate and Michael Keane. Ben Godfrey got injured in the warm up. So it was just like, it looked like it was going to be way worse than it actually was.
A nice cold brew called you Pele optimist.
I'll take it.
Hey, Jamal is killing you, bro. Jamal said, LOL, you are worse than bad.
but when you look at the...
Here's the thing, dude. I do want to give you credit. I do want to give Everton credit. Because losing 2-0 to the best team in Europe right now, mm-hmm. in their house, is kind of a victory.
Right.
To some degree, there's so many positives there to pull from.
Manchester United didn't lose 2-0. They lost, 4-0? 5-0?
Yeah.
So.
And I do think you probably should have gotten a penalty. It at very least could have ended 1-1.
Right. This game was, I didn't expect to win it. It's not even about that. But Everton, they just beat Manchester United. There are teams that they don't look like they can beat that they end up winning against. And there's teams that they should beat that they lose. We've lost to Norwich. We've lost to Watford. We've lost to Burnley. Those three results, the game against Burnley, if they would have played the way they played against Liverpool.
That might be the reason you get relegated.
It's very possible. And the fact that Burnley, they sacked their manager, Sean Dyche. They get rid of him, and I'm like, yo, bro, they're done for. Why are they getting rid of him now? And it's like, they did it just at the right time. That result against Wolves is tremendous. So it's the game against Watford have to brutally have to win. There's no
okay. So let's go. Okay, give me some reality here. Okay. Yeah. Chelsea at Everton. You're sticking with 3 points.
I'll say one point.
Okay, 1 point. Everton away to Leicester.
Away to Leicester. I'll say 1 point also.
Okay, so we're at 2 points. Everton away to Watford.
3 points.
Okay, so we're at 5 points. Brentford with Christian Eriksen, the zombie.
That away or home?
Comes to Everton.
That's at home?
That's in your house.
That's 3 points.
Okay, so we're at 8 points.
8 points.
Everton welcome Crystal Palace to Goodison.
This is going to be a tough one.
Crystal Palace is a tough team to play, bro.
I'm going to say 3 points only because the last time that we played them, obviously in the FA Cup, I think there was no Alan because he had the red card, no Yerimina. So I think that's going to be the difference. The home games, there's no home game in these last stretches that I'm going to say that we're not going to get 3 points out of. Outside of the Chelsea one, I think the rest of them are absolutely must wins, and I think they can.
You only have one left, which is the Crystal Palace. So you think you could take 3 points from Crystal Palace going to Goodison?
Yeah, and then the
So you're at 9. You're at 11.
11.
And then Arsenal away.
Arsenal away. I think that's a loss. I don't think we win that one. I think it's going to be 11 points. I think it's too important to Arsenal. It's going to be the last game. They're probably still fighting for a Champions League spot.
I think that's going to be the reason we stay in fourth. It might be we win, we stay in fourth. You win, you stay up. It might be. Here's why I'm saying that. You took 11 points, right? Where are you in the...
That would be 40. 40 points.
That would put you at 40. Burnley are at 31 points. Let's look at the matches they have coming up. Burnley away to Watford. What are you thinking there?
This is going to be a tough one because Watford really needs to win this game. I could see this being a draw.
Okay. Aston Villa go to Burnley. Go to Turf Moor.
I think Burnley loses this game. I think they lose that.
I could see Aston Villa. I'll give you that. I could see Aston Villa winning that.
Yeah.
So Watford have 3 points. That brings them to 34 points. Okay, so no, wait, you said draw. They're at 32 points. Mm-hmm. They lose to Aston Villa. Tottenham. Burnley goes to White Hart Lane or Tottenham Stadium.
They're losing that. They're not winning that game.
Tottenham are on a free fall.
Free fall.
Their manager.
Two games.
Their manager. The rumor just came out that their manager wants to go to PSG. Please get me the fuck out of here. All right. How about this? Burnley has to go to Aston Villa now.
I think they maybe there's a draw here between the obviously they have to play two games. They're gonna play each other two times in 2 weeks. I could see maybe one draw and then one loss for Burnley.
Okay, so you've given them now 1 point out of the last few games. Then the last match is Burnley versus Newcastle.
They're not winning that. They're
not winning that. Newcastle's on fire. Yeah. Newcastle's in Champions League form right
bro,
now.
Newcastle were beneath Everton a couple weeks ago, and now they are at the top half of the table.
They're in ninth, right? They're in ninth place, bro.
It's incredible.
Eddie, how'd you do it? all right, so you gave Burnley.
You gave them
5 points. Look, obviously, this is a highly biased approach, mm-hmm. but you would not be relegated if you were right with those victories and losses.
Yeah. Look, I hope I am right.
Catherine Tucker, famously a Spurs fan, just quoted me and said, Tottenham are in free fall. And I said, Alexis, delusionally every week.
Okay. It's Pele delusional, I think. I think the results, Burnley's results are going to be more important to Everton than Everton's own results, but Everton do have a game in hand, so there's that. But I hope if you're a Burnley fan in this chat, I hope nothing but the most epic of failures on your part, on your team. This is pretty remarkable. I've been seeing a lot of when Liverpool and Everton were playing. They were showing all these stats about like the wage bill and how much they've spent on transfers in the last like 8 years. And they've been, Liverpool has spent like, I wish I could, let me see if I could find that image. But basically, Everton have spent like something like 800 million in the last like decade, and Liverpool has spent like 4 or 5. And then the amount of signings that were more than 25 million pounds or dollars or whatever, Everton has like 12. And Liverpool had like 3 or 4. So it really just speaks to, again, just a gross mismanagement of this club, that they've essentially thrown money at a problem and it's not resolving absolutely anything. And you know, Jamie Carragher said this, where he said he felt that Everton were the worst run club in Europe, which is it. You know, it feels like a bold statement and a little bit.
It feels like a punch to the gut, but also a hug.
Right. Yeah.
It's the truth. It hurts, but it's the truth.
Because there's no other club in the world where you can justify spending this kind of money and getting these kinds of results. It makes absolutely no sense. Even from just like, if you're playing like Football Manager and you're like throwing all this money around, you're like, you tend to see some better results because of the investment that you've made. But it's
that's like if you found out Christian spent less at the gym than I have, you know what I mean?
Like, it's not fair.
You'd be like, I feel like it ain't working. Whatchamacallit? By the way, shouts to Graying Cyburns, who said, isolated in my house with COVID with the boop boop on Dayquil. Must be hallucinating because I think I just heard Christian say Everton is staying up. Hey man, feel better. Hopefully it goes by quickly and seamlessly.
Yes. Likewise, man. Hope you get better. The it's weird because even in my Everton group chat with all the community,
which they are, it's the end of the world when there's like a missed pass
because it is an all comedian group chat, all a bunch of comedians out in Liverpool, and there's still a couple optimistic people in there, right? So they're like, a lot of people, even though there's losses and we're in 18th place, people are like, don't worry, we're going to stay up. Don't worry, we're going to stay up. And I'm like, I'm latching on to that optimism.
You think it's one of those like speak it into existence kind of things?
Maybe. I mean, look, there's for every one, and there's probably only one or two people that are like, we're going to stay up, there's also a dozen like, get ready for the championship, folks. Those patches are going to look great on our kits. The whole thing. It's look, I don't know where to.
Let me ask you this. If you do get relegated, do you think you're coming straight back up?
No. No, I said this a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I don't think so.
I think I did ask you that.
Yeah, I think the because of one, the players are going to be leaving, financial fair play, they won't be able to invest as much in the roster as they financially really could. So no, I think so the last time Everton got relegated in like 1950 something or whatever, they were out for 3 years. And then obviously they've been in Division One since then. They've never been relegated from the Premier League. So the club clearly has a lot of history, and there's a lot of pride in the fact that they are one of the, I think, six clubs that have never been relegated from the Premier League. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So you feel that and you sense that when you talk to Evertonians, and the fact that this is that streak is at stake is obviously, we all know it's obviously very detrimental, but for a club like this with this much history and consistently able to stay in the top flight, I mean, it's gonna be devastating. Yeah, and somebody mentioned like it's gonna be like
Jamal said, championship is the trenches. The culture shock is gonna be massive.
Right, right, Jamal. So, yeah, look, it'll suck. I still don't think it's gonna happen. I still think Burnley will falter later in the season. There is a game in hand. It's only 2 points right now. Everton, look, if they can beat Manchester United, who are on paper the better team, Look, and even in the performance against Liverpool, the performance against Manchester City, when they play the top teams, they can figure out a way to at least stay in these games. They only lost to Manchester City 1-0, and there was a handball that wasn't called. And all these, like, this is what sucks about being so close to being in relegation, though, because you look at every result, every instance, you're like, there could have been a point there, a point there, a win here. It's just like the referees. I'm just like, I hate this particular referee, and I
you're like a detective that keeps looking over the files of a cold case.
It's like
why didn't anyone ask him where he was? What is this?
It's like the movie Memento. I have tattoos of all the different results all over my body, and I'm like, what? I remember when this happened. It's so frustrating. Dennis Higgin said Everton is going to hire Bielsa. Imagine.
Tali, shouts to St. Tali. Thanks for hanging out with us. Jamosa, LOL, Alexis up top. Would body Manchester United. They are not a benchmark, Christian. First of all, thank you. Second of all, you know what? Arsenal made them look good for about 20 minutes in the match. So maybe they're not that terrible. Also, whenever you have Cristiano Ronaldo, you at least know there's probably a goal getting scored. So sure.
So like I said,
nice. Cobra said Liverpool sent Rafa to sabotage Everton. What is that? I mean, think about that. That Rafa Benitez, the quite possibly most heralded up until recently, most heralded, Liverpool manager, went to Everton, and that he's the reason they're getting relegated. And that's actually a great question. And what probably we should have talked about when we started, because this is the thumbnail, right, and the title. Do you blame Frank Lampard for this?
No, I still do not.
But where is he on the list of reasons you're getting relegated? Or reasons you're in this position?
I would say...
Does he not carry more blame than Rafa?
No, not even close. I mean, look, he's in a more pressure situation than Rafa was. But it's hard to rank him. Look, if you ask me who to blame first,
I'm asking you. Give me your top three reasons or people to blame.
Let's go top five. Okay.
Top five things you're blaming for Everton being in the position they're in. Go.
So
start with five. The least.
Oh, least. Then I'm going to say, Frank. Frank is probably the least reason. So he's at five.
Interesting. So Frank Lampard. He's number five. Number four.
He's totally to blame. He has culpability, but he is fifth in my
list.
He
is at fault, but not completely at fault. Okay.
Correct. No one is completely at fault in this list. It is just who takes the more of the pie of responsibility. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
This is number four.
This is a shitty tasting pie, by the way.
It's a very, very, very humble pie. Humble pie would taste better. Yeah.
So Frank is fifth. I'm gonna say fourth would be Rafa. I'm gonna say Rafa is there because
fourth
because of how he handled James Rodriguez, how he handled Lucas Digne. And just having an issue with the players and being that off-putting and being that difficult. So
losing 11 in a row.
So he is fourth. Third will be the okay. So I'm going to say it's not a person, but it is the injuries. Dominic Calvert-Lewin injured at the early in the season. Yeremina in and out, missed a lot of games. A lot of injuries, and also players leaving and obviously losing James and stuff like that. They obviously didn't make it easier. So the player kind of injury issue and clubhouse kind of stuff.
So if you're keeping track, five is Frank Lampard, four is Rafa Benitez. Three is excuses. I mean, injuries. Everybody deals with injuries, but okay, but you did have some very important players go down. And they weren't replaced, to Granny Cyburn's point. And the chat says transfer is reasons you're going down. But So that's number three. Number two.
Number two, the players themselves and how they've played. Their performances have been abysmal. Whether it's coaching, whether or what, whatever, the constant defensive mistakes, not being able to control the ball, just like passing, like just the fundamentals of the game have seemed to been absent this season for Everton. But the constant just giving up goals has been a nightmare. Everton have how many goals have they given up? Their goal differential is negative 21. Which Jesus. Is absolutely brutal. You know, that's been, you know, one of the bigger issues. But then I also think because of the injury to Yerry Mina, that's probably been a big factor as well. So two, the players themselves, and then one, it is the board. It is Everton, the way the club...
Front office.
The way the club is simply... run Franex Y. Thank you for the super chat saying responsibility pie, the new Everton dessert. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. The board, the way the club is just simply run, they are the ones who are most responsible, whether it's
What about the board? Is it specifically? Is it the fact that they didn't make the Rafa replacement soon enough? Is it that they went to Rafa to begin with when Carlo Ancelotti left? Which, by the way, Jamal said, number one, Ancelotti, the man is a hoe. First call from Madrid, he busted wide open. He did say that's the one
that's
place
it.
That
we all know
where he was. He would bail.
Carlo is for the streets, bruh. Carlo's for the streets.
Bro, Carlo Ancelotti must have been helping plan the bachelorette party, bro, because he out here. It's working for Real Madrid, bro.
So, the decision to, as far as the front office, the decision.
Like what is the big issue? Because I've heard the front office is default. And you could say the front office aren't good at their jobs. But what about that? I mean, maybe they're not good at marketing or some of these things. What was their decision that cost Everton, whether it be time or the ability to stay up?
Okay, first, probably bringing in Rafa, but fine. If look, he has the resume he has.
Yeah, but we talked about this.
Right.
But you needed to stay within the manager ilk of the Rafas and the Ancelottis. Right. It was the only option.
This is the biggest mistake they've made, in my opinion, this season.
Allowing us to go there and film that doc.
It is allowing Rafa to make the roster decisions that he made when they just went and got rid of him anyway. That is like if you gave him all the keys to the kingdom, and then he ransacked the place, and then two weeks later you're like, okay, give us the keys back. And you're not responsible now for all the damage that you caused. Getting rid of
so the front office should have made the decision to get rid of Rafa before he was able to get rid of Luka Digne.
100%. Yes.
But then why hasn't Frank invited? I guess he can't because he is with a Saudi club. But you know,
they're not going to bring.
Yeah,
he's not what getting James back. No, he's not coming back. Who knows? Maybe James did have.
Remember that feeling when you had James and all we called them the Tofiteros. They were all dancing. Remember that? How long ago does that feel?
Remember, Everton were in first place this season.
At
the top of the table. They were in a Champions
y'all
League.
Y'all did a reverse Newcastle.
For real, dude. The fact that those decisions and that Rafa had a say when things were already very rocky, like things were really difficult. They were losing a lot of games and they were like, Rafa, we still trust you. We still got you. Get rid of Lucas Digne. Yeah, he's a problem. What? Like you can't. That's the biggest issue. You got rid of some of, you know, your better players because the manager didn't like them and had an issue with them. And then you end up getting rid of the manager. So that is, you can't justify that. That is, you know, something from the at the top. They're making these decisions you know, a little bit too, like, I don't want to say, like, emotionally or whatever, because I think getting rid of Rafa was the right decision because it was causing too much trouble with the fan base. But there's just a recklessness. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's a recklessness with how the club is run that you're realizing that it doesn't matter how much you spend. You need to have a solid foundation. You need to have a lot of accountability and trust. And that just didn't seem to be there.
Paolo Nelson put reverse Newcastle? Kinky. Jamal got a lot of smoke for you, bro. He said Lampard was, and I actually kind of like this. He said Lampard, or I should say I kind of agree with this. Lampard was the wrong choice, too. Guys, look at Newcastle. Apart from Bruno G signing, they made smart signings and have a better manager than Lamps. If you got any how, you would be safe. At what point, if you won't say Lampard is even in the top three to blame for Everton, the position that you're in now, was he the wrong choice for manager? Or is this too far gone?
What makes Eddie Howe this brilliant mind that understands?
Newcastle is in ninth. That's why.
Okay, yeah, but the signings were the big deal.
Yeah, but we got to be honest. And the reason why I like his comment is Bruno Guimarães, or however you want to pronounce
Guimarães,
it.
Yeah.
Guimarães. He may be a big deal signing, but other than him, they went and got stable players. They signed Chris Wood. They signed Kieran Trippier, and he's been Trippier. He's been injured. They went out and signed.
Hold on.
They didn't go out and sign big money players. They didn't bring in Neymar.
Hold on. Because Newcastle were in a different financial situation than Everton. Everton couldn't sign Bruno, couldn't sign Trippier without getting rid of some other players. There's financial fair play. Newcastle hadn't really, the last couple of years, Newcastle, they were struggling.
I'm not saying that's what you should have done. I'm saying you can't say that Newcastle were in a different position because they just went out and did like a good, smart business. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean you couldn't or you should have. What I'm saying is they went out and got Eddie Howe when people were like, that's not the manager the richest club in the world brings in. You're supposed to bring in a Pirlo. You're supposed to bring in this guy. They went out and just made smart football decisions. They said, yo, I need to be in the middle of this motherfucking table.
I agree.
I don't want to be here.
I love smart.
So then was Frank Lampard the wrong choice?
But Rafa was the guy in the transfer window. So you can't hold that. That responsibility is not on Frank Lampard.
I get that. No. I agree with you. But I'm saying now that you have evidence of what you've seen the last few weeks, would you look back and say Frank Lampard was either handed too hard of a hand to deal with, or was he the wrong choice? Which category would you put the Frank Lampard higher in?
Too difficult of a hand to work with. I think that what he is doing the best with what he has, but realistically.
So are you saying Eddie Howe wouldn't have been able to do better? Into your assessment.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to necessarily do with how to tactically play. If you're going to judge the players that Everton brought in, I'm not criticizing that. Of course, we brought in, somebody said we brought in bums. El Ghazi or whatever, he's played like 35 seconds. Makes no sense why they signed him. Dele Alli looks lost. We don't need a player like that. Donny van de Beek, it can't even get in the game because they're like, there's too many defensive liabilities that we're like, we can't even put you in because we're going to make you look bad when you back at Manchester United and when you're back with your manager.
I honestly can't believe he can't even get minutes out of
He can't.
Failing
because there's
Everton.
Too many defensive issues that they're simply like, Donny, you're good going forward. But we have too many defensive issues that we're too slow in the midfield that we can't put you up there because we're going to need you at center back, Donny. We need help.
So then here's the question. Let's say you're the director of football for Everton Football Club back when the decision to fire Rafa happens. You are able to go back in time to that. Do you still hire Frank Lampard?
Yeah, I'm not unhappy
Charles
with Frank.
Charles B said, Christian, I love you, but you caught in the Stockholm Lampard syndrome.
NYCFC legend Frank Lampard. We saw through.
Is that Lampard's jersey behind you? By the way? No,
it is. We had Rafa Benitez. We had Duncan Ferguson and Frank Lampard.
Would Duncan Ferguson have done a better job?
He had an opportunity. He managed one game and it didn't, and he lost. So I think the hope was that they could bring in a leader, to bring in some positivity, to bring in some accountability, to bring in somebody that
someone also that the players probably had like a heavy amount of respect for as well.
Right.
Because odds are a lot of these players saw Frank Lampard play when they were younger, and you know, he to some degree maybe was inspirational in their career or something of those.
Right.
At the very least, they have a heavy amount of respect for his ability
know,
to play.
We know the Everton. That's what I'm saying, that the Everton players eat more of the responsibility pie, because they're simply, the majority of them are not good enough. I mean, let's just be serious. They're not good enough. And we've seen that. Yes, the decisions on what players to bring and blah, blah, blah. Yes, there've been so many poor decisions, but Eddie Howe doesn't come in here and snap a finger, just fix this. Well, you can't. Why are they giving up so many goals all the time? And the one thing I would blame, or the thing I would be more frustrated with Frank about, is that early on in his early games, when he was lost like the first two or three, he was very experimental, three at the back, trying to like possess more, and you saw that early on, and it was not working. And credit to him, because he was like, all right, my bad. Sorry, I threw away 9 points. I didn't realize how bad this team was.
So, well, y'all, they can't even do this, bro. I gotta go back to the drawing board.
He gave them a shot. He gave them a chance to see what they could do, and it wasn't working. And then also not having the players that they need, like a Yerry Mina. Yerry Mina not being, you know, missing so many games, I think is one of the biggest reasons why Everton are in the position that they're in. You just having a 6'3" dude that is strong, that also is responsible. I think he has like 4 goals or 5 goals this season. He must be pretty high up in you know, goal scorers for Everton this season. So missing a goal scoring threat on set pieces, And being able to defend as good as he does, you know, that's been another like huge factor. But no,
and I like that Jamal said this, because I think it goes counter to what you've said and probably closer to what I believe. Jamal's killing it right now. He does say Lamps is overrated, which it is what it is. But Eddie would have been better. Eddie Howe would have been better. Man, their first 11 is literally the same players that have been there. Bar Wood and Bruno G. Chris Wood, their striker, and Bruno G. Look, two big players that if Everton were to have a tall, good on set piece, stable striker, and Bruno, I feel like they'd be in a much better place. But outside of those two players, it's really been the same players. They got and those two just got in a couple weeks ago, and he did change Joe Linton from a striker to a center mid. So he's smart enough to put someone, and Joe Linton has been playing incredibly since that change. So he is smart enough to make those adjustments. And that's one thing where I feel like Frank Lampard, you know, hasn't really shown his ability to do that. I don't remember him doing that at Chelsea when he was there, and I certainly haven't seen him do it now. Then again, I don't know who you change what to. Do you make Richarlison creative?
What is the adjustment? What is the – please, in the chat – let me know what the adjustment you would make.
Actually, you know what? Don't even put it in our chat. Email it directly to Everton.
They've tried everything. Look, you know, the fans have even gotten to the point that, like, bring in the kids. Bring in the Everton 2 players, the U23 squad or whatever. They've had enough. I can't explain it either, but whether it's a lack of chemistry – which obviously that is a big issue. Even Richarlison playing as center forward when Dominic Calvert-Lewin is hurt, and that's not his position, and he's really not that strong there. They've tried it all. I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is fix things defensively, and that's probably the best shot to stay in the Premier League. But expecting one or two changes to fix everything, it's not the case. It's just
Harry Gunnar got some smart ideas. He said, "Bring in Jiz and Shamak." I mean, you know,
poorly drawn Arsenal said, "You know it's bad when you say you are missing a defender as your main goal scoring threat." That's right. We know it's bad. That is how you know.
This is a poorly developed squad instead of poorly drawn Arsenal. What about Frank signing like Ali and Dan Van de Nico?
Van de Beek, but
I know. I was like, is there a bit that I missed there? Someone said that they just signed names. I actually thought Van de Beek had a chip on his shoulder, had something to prove, would come in, show that the way he's been treated at Manchester United is a mistake. It's a loan. He would, you know, start finding players. And I also thought Dele Alli kind of would walk in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and at the very least be more active. You know what I mean? Like, seemed more interested than he currently does. I thought the same thing. There's a reason why I don't manage. There's multiple reasons why I don't manage a football club. But one of them is because I do give players a bit of a break. And I do think both of those players would have come in and done something. But now looking at that, it's actually taught me. Your mistakes have taught me a lesson, which is you don't go out and get players that need to change it around. You go out and get players that have that stability like Newcastle
but
did.
But when you're a team that's struggling, all the other clubs in the Prem are like, oh, okay, we can offload some of this trash we got.
Oh yeah,
because they.
Yo, Lampard, I think he'll do good for you. He needs a change of scenery.
Okay, they're doing good business. Props to them. Look, for getting those wages off their books and doing what they got to do. But Dele Alli is a strange one because it really doesn't look like he fits in the team. I don't know what his role is necessarily. Is he a 10? He's kind of like a roaming 10, and he's kind of all over the place.
He's not a winger. He's not central, really, he's definitely ain't on the right side either.
He's literally delivered. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I honestly think he's delivered one key pass in his entire. I think he's played like maybe 8 or 9 games. I saw this pass, and it was a pass to Richarlison that put him in perfect space, and it didn't lead to a goal. But he is not. He's not delivering what he was brought in to do, nor do I think he exactly knows what is being asked of him, because the
now might not be the right time to say this, but I just want to remind everyone that Everton purchased Dele Alli for $40 million.
Right. Yeah. He's the future. He's the future of this club. Build a statue. I want a statue of Dele Alli. Okay.
Yeah, but you gotta make the dreads removable.
Okay.
Just like they are in real life.
I want a statue of Dele and I want a statue of Alli, bro. I want both. Okay. He's a legend.
But I think the most surprising part of all of this is that you really you are a salmon right now, swimming against the tide, bro. Everyone in the chat is against you. Everyone in the media out here, every newspaper, no one thinks the same way you do. But you are steadfast. You think Everton find a way to survive this.
Yeah, they're not. It's not like they're necessary. Look, the loss to Liverpool is a loss to Liverpool. Nobody, I'm not really even sweating that game that much. Again, there's a game in hand. Burnley are not that good. There's a strong possibility.
Burnley been playing well. They're in good form.
Right. They got a draw.
That's the wrong time for you.
Yeah. Jamal said Everton hired Lampard because they thought relegation wasn't real. They should have gotten Big Sam or someone with the league experience because Lamps ain't built for this. He has lost composure. We tried Big Sam too. I don't know. It's not like he hasn't been there either. He was just there, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I think because of the stadium, the new stadium, I think Everton are shooting their shot and trying to be amongst the top clubs in the world. And yes, did they see relegation as a possibility? No, I don't think they took it that seriously because I think they thought They see the players that they have. They see how much money they spend. So this is why my number one is the board. I think they really didn't see this out correctly, and they didn't really have a clear vision on what type of players you want to bring in, what style of play you want, what manager is going to bring us into the future. So they're at most responsible.
Joe Fox, you're a lion flying into the sun.
Well put, Joe. Thank you.
But if he had 9.9 billion friends with him, I think he might be all right.
Okay. If you have 10 million Dominic Calvert-Lewins going into the sun, I don't know. I think there's a real...
I mean, first of all, I figured out your first 11.
or Dominic Calvert-Lions. That's correct. Hey, because now
10 trillion Dominic Calvert-Lions.
Oh, my goodness. Barry Gunnar said, Almeida's available now. Yes, Pelado is more than welcome to take the reins.
That man market might not work so well in the Prem either.
We can't man mark. We can't zone mark. There's nothing. There's no marking.
Jamal said Burnley upturn in form is what's got Everton stressing. What did they? I looked this up. They won three of their last five, drew one as well. So only one loss, and it was to Norwich, which you would have assumed you walk away from thinking.
Yeah, man, I was the biggest Norwich fan that day.
But for them to beat Southampton and Wolves is really impressive. And I know they got Watford and two Aston Villa matches and a Tottenham and Newcastle match coming up. But I could see this one going down to the final game of the season. And I got to be honest, if it's win and get in the fourth, but that also means you get relegated, bruh, I got no remorse.
Also,
I got none whatsoever.
If it's win and stay in the league and Arsenal don't get into Champions League, same here. No remorse at all.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I would respect you if you felt any other way.
Right, right. Bro, I mean, look, yeah, we can go on for hours about this. Everton just are quite the story, man. It makes no real sense given given the money that they spend. If you look at how much money they spent, they spent like, it's like nearly $1 billion in the last like 15 years. They've spent
crazy
so much money.
And you have so much more to spend. You have a brand new stadium in the works.
Yeah, they just mistake after mistake, and it led to this situation. This isn't something that just started this year. There have been so many poor decisions that led to this. You got to always look, Everton fans, all they can do is hope for the best, man. That's all. I see the remaining fixtures. There's mathematically we're not out of it, so anything is possible. It sucks that Burnley is playing as well as they are right now, but I can't imagine that they're going to maintain this consistency. They're not going to win every single game. They're still Burnley. Yeah, they have a new manager. They're not winning games 5-0. They won 1-0. So anything is possible.
Jamal wrote a new chant for you guys. I'm sure you've heard the "We got Superman Arteta." Have you heard that chant?
I have not heard that one.
For Mikel Arteta? Mm-mm. It's I heard it about 75,000 times at the stadium. And every time I wanted to send a little video of it to troops. But Jamal wrote one for you. He said, "We got Super Frank Lampard. He knows exactly what we need. Mina in defense, Richarlison in attack. Everton on the way to the championship."
Okay, yo, turn me up. That slaps, though.
Put me up in the monitor. Dennis Dickens said, "I don't think this is what they meant by saying getting championships for Everton."
So
I will say this. I do hope Everton stays up, but I am nowhere near as confident as you in the amount of points you're going to get. You said 11. For me, it's probably closer to that 8. And is that 8 enough? And I honestly think Burnley might be able to take both games at I hope Burnley loses every match except the Tottenham one. Except the Tottenham one. I hope they beat Tottenham. Other than that, right. But I think they're going to stick with those 8 points. So I think Everton only get 8 points. So is that enough? We'll see. We're going to be taking the temperature of this every week because it is It is a telenovela.
But brother, the pot is boiling, bro.
Bro.
It is spilling over the sides. We should take it off the stove, but we can't.
But somebody asked, do we think that this is what's up next for Manchester United? A nice Cobra said, how far are Manchester United from being in the same position? They are in similar disarray, to be honest. Let me tell you something. I saw them play. There were moments where Arsenal made them look good. There were moments where we couldn't. The thing about Manchester United, and I got to see in real time what Ralph Rangnick has done for them, which was when we beat Tottenham 3-1, we would score, and then Arsenal would be able to build more momentum off of that score. There was very few moments where it felt like, you know, Tottenham had pulled some of that momentum back, pulled the momentum back into their direction. It wasn't happening. I'll say, you know, Manchester United, for the most part, was really good about being able to sort of clamp and stop and say, all right, now we're control the midfield, you know, blah, 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 blah. By the way, someone just asked, Justy said, not related to football. Love the top Alexis is wearing. Anyone have a link to the site? Actually, this is my boy's brand. It's called Dirty Pockets. Look, it comes with like this cool little pin of roses. It's on a champion hoodie. Check out Dirty Pockets. I don't know if they have a website. He's my homie. But Google Dirty Pockets clothing. You'll see it. If not, I'll put it in the description. I got to see in real time that, you know, Ralph Rangnick has at very least drilled the basics into this team. Now, what I also saw in real time is that there were large swaths of this game where they were like, yo, we ain't trying to listen to Ralph Rangnick, bro. And I look, Mikel Arteta's style is not for everyone. You know, there is a difference between the fans you hear on social media and you see on YouTube and what's happening in the stadium. There really are a different sort of beast. In the stadium, Mikel Arteta has, and I don't want to say unwavering because I wasn't here for some of the rougher matches. And the away matches are completely different. If I'm going to be completely honest, that fan base, the away fans, it feels a little more toxic. I don't want to blame them, and I don't want to say they're toxic. It just feels a little bit more of a catalyst,
sure,
the away section. But the home stands, boy, they love Mikel Arteta as much as I do. It's almost like I'm at these games every week. Like, they are defending him just as much as I do. And there is this sense that he's kind of got the right idea. He may not have the tools, you know, in place to be able to do that. He may not, it still feels like he doesn't have exactly what he needs just yet, and he will this summer. But before the Gabriel Jesus information broke, the feeling at the stadium, or I should say after, because that broke the day before, afterwards, no one cared about the Gabriel Jesus thing. It was like, the feeling was, I think we got Manchester United with the squad we have. And I know Manchester United in the mud right now, but there's still quality players on that team. After watching that full 90, I have a bit more trust in Nuno Tavares. I'm fine with him. Look, he's made mistakes. He had the handball. There were moments where he completely lapsed. But what I see is this kid does not stop. He does not give up. And he tries every time. And the moments where he switched positions with ESR, bro, he was totally fine up there. He knew exactly what to do. And it showed me Mikel Arteta's got it beaten into their brains, similar to City. There's moments where you start the match as a right back. You might not be the right back for the whole match. Mm. So you need to know what these other positions are doing. He knew exactly what to
Nuno,
do, which is another reason
why
he scored
the goal. Goalkeeper gloves on.
Yeah. You know what? You're the manager. I'm the right back. That's what Mikel Arteta said.
You've trained for this. I thought the, you know, look, it could have been there was a chance that Manchester United had, I think, to tie it, and they missed it or something.
Well, the fact that Bruno took the penalty and not Cristiano Ronaldo probably the reason why Arsenal walks away with 3 points. If I'm being completely honest, when I saw Bruno go up, I'm like, oh, they don't want to. Oh, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm surprised Cristiano Ronaldo walked away from a brace.
Yeah, that was a bit shocking. The goal that Xhaka scored was from a, like, I don't know if it was Bruno that lost the ball or missed the ball. I think he tried to go for it or something like that. It was just like poor. The effort wasn't 100% there to try to win that ball back, and Xhaka scores that goal. But did you think probably not in live. It didn't seem like it was offside, but there was a lot of controversy whether that goal was offside because who was it? I think Nketiah was behind.
Then he blocked the
he blocked the view, and De Gea had to look around.
Here's why I think that may not have counted, because I've seen the highlights about 700 times. I can't stop watching it. I think it's because he already was way out of position. Even though he had to kind of look past them, when the ball's kicked, he's already on the other side of Nketiah. So maybe that's why that wasn't considered. And I didn't see that. I also didn't see how bad the Bruno Fernandez foul was. I couldn't see that from the stands. I can't believe that wasn't a red card. And to Jamal said, what away fans are you talking about, Alexis? Our away tribal fans are so good when we travel. I'm not saying that they don't show up for the matches. I'm not saying that there aren't a ton of them. I'm just saying the mood, the feeling towards the club is a bit more pessimistic in the away fans than it is at home. And that could be, you know, because I've seen wins. But even before the match, the away fans, there was something about communicating with them and talking to them where you don't feel as uplifted about the way the club was situated. Right. And I'm talking primarily at the Everton match. There was something about it where they were still like, this guy needs to be sat. There was a general attitude that things weren't as good as they were, where when you're at home, it's a bit more calm. People are a little bit, especially with, you know, our format.
It's family friendly. You know, that's how it
and
should
I
be.
I wouldn't even say that for sure, but I would definitely say, like, at the very least, there's a bit more of a positive feeling towards the way the club is being handled and the future of Mikel Arteta. That said, here's what I want to say. What I took away from that match, besides the 3 points, and I do think we're back in the position where fourth is not necessarily ours, but it's ours to lose. So I will say that. If we want to talk about Manchester United, there's honestly two players that should be brought back next season. Maybe three. And I can't believe I'm saying one of these names, but Cristiano Ronaldo deserves to be back. I need to give Flex and everyone else credit. Look, I'm not a fan of Cristiano Ronaldo for some of the stuff he's done off the pitch. That's just what it is. That's never going to go away. I'm a big defender of women. That said, I've given him a lot of shit for the fact that when he's playing, he gets frustrated and he tells people, you should have done this and you should have been that. You should have done this. And that, to me, doesn't breed a good team. Now, I will go back on everything I just said because you know what? Homie's right, bro. I watched this in real time. Y'all need to listen to that man. Every time he says something, I'm like, yo, he should have made that cut. Yo, Cristiano Ronaldo is, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but he's right most of the time with the shit he's telling you to do. And you could see when you watch it in real time and the cameras, you know, you're not just following the camera and you're seeing the whole pitch. He is not the most active. He's up there in age, but you can see he's always putting himself in the position that it feels like either he needs to be or that he should be. But I don't think he has the talent around him to get him the ball. So Cristiano Ronaldo, that guy stays. Jadon Sancho is of a higher ilk than 90% of everyone else on that pitch. I don't know what it's going to take for him to show that consistently.
Yeah.
But that kid has moments when the moments of brilliance you see out of him are much higher than anyone else. Honestly, it reminds me of like Pogba, where like, you're like, oh my God, why couldn't you just do this all match? People would get off your back. But then again, Sancho was bought to be on the left. He's on the right. So, you know, who knows what's going on there. And then maybe the third person is De Gea. And that's it. Look, Bruno Fernandes, I know y'all love him. I know y'all gave him a contract extension. He did not deserve that from what I've seen. It looks like he's completely given up. And I'm not even talking about the penalty miss. That's a huge mistake. That's stupid. That's a lapse of judgment. But there's moments where he's just walking on the pitch, where he's not tracking back. It looks like he's given up. It looks like he's worried about his vacation plans. And I do want to answer Jamal, who said, LOL, the away fans, not you're bugging, Alexis. I've been to more away games this season. We've all backed Arteta. Where do you think that Super Mick Arteta chant came from? It's from one of the away trips. All right, then maybe I'm wrong. I'm just telling you the vibes I felt at that Everton match. It felt way more pessimistic towards the club and even way more pessimistic to the things around the club. And maybe you're in a away section that's, a cut that was different from where I was. Just even like the way they were treating like just AFTV people, the way they were treating Mikel Arteta at that time, the way they were treating just the general fan base seemed – maybe it was just younger and maybe just a bit different, but there was something about it where the away fans are way more calm. They trust the way the club is going. And it could just be because of the matches.
The home fans are more calm.
Yeah, they're more calm.
Also,
they're more trusting. They believe in the future. That's my assessment.
At that time, that was in December when Arsenal weren't doing too well. So it might have just been that moment in time at where people's frustrations were. That's which is also very possible. But I mean, it could be.
Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions off of one match. But the people around me were like, I was like, damn, yo, they really don't. I mean, they obviously they love the club and they care, but they really don't believe in this project right now.
All right. Well, I mean, what are they saying now? Because things have seem to improve quite a bit.
A lot of people were chanting, "You were right, Alexis." And I'm telling you, I mean, I was like, I might be hearing this. You know,
you were right, but yo, Alexis. Memphis, you're...
There's only one Alexis Guerrero. I'm like, there is.
I love these away trips. These are great.
I mean, this is great. Are these actors I hired, baby? Manchester United, bro. That rebuild is going to take years.
Did you see there was a comment? I don't know how accurate it was, but that players are unhappy with Ralph Rangnick because of he's been being way more vocal the last few weeks. Basically, and they don't like his comment in particular that they supposedly don't like is that he said we need to replace 10 players on the team, and some players feel like. That is, they feel like he's calling them out a little bit, and when
I bet you whoever suggested that, you might be right, buddy. Yes. That's Ralph, a lot of
Ralph,
odds.
10 is a lot. There's not that many roster spots.
Yeah. Hey, Ralph, you said 19 need to be replaced. We only have 18 in the roster.
Really? I don't know, but based on the numbers that you're putting out there, I feel like you're talking about me.
Yeah. Also, the coaches are nervous because they think that extra player is one of them. I can't explain to you, like, Manchester United is Manchester United. Like, even if they're kind of down bad, you kind of don't ever feel – you don't ever feel like they're out. You know what I mean? You never feel like it's an easy team to play. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's Manchester United. And, bro, that's not who showed up at Emirates.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's like a – you know what they all look like? They all look like cartoons, like the kids in cartoons, like, walking to school with their head down kicking rocks.
Mm.
That's how they all looked.
like a Peanuts comic strip? Charlie Brown?
Nick Red said, based on the expert judgment of Chris Arnes, I forgot there was a damn Puerto Rican.
Well, don't say damn before it, bro. Are you going to?
Wait. Oh, my God. I sound like my mother.
Oh, my goodness. So,
there's a Cuban flag stealing Puerto Rican on Manchester United.
How dare he? Yeah. So
my mother once yelled like, "Oh, and you had to get pregnant by one of them." I'm like, "They were married, Mom."
Yeah, they're doing too much. Obviously a big result for Arsenal. They are currently we'll look at the table real quick. They're currently
back in fourth.
In fourth, 2 points above Tottenham. Tottenham would they draw in their last game? I think they
draw and lost.
So,
two.
It got a little scary there. Look, it's still.
Did you see the rumor? The rumor is, and this feels like more than a rumor. The rumor is that Antonio Conte, who I said when he got hired that he would not make it past this season, and he would leave on his own volition. That's what I said because at the end of the day, it's still Tottenham, and everyone told me Conte's a winner. He wins everywhere he goes. He didn't win here, even if he finishes fourth. That's not a trophy, bruh. But I did say he would leave, and the rumor is that he wants the PSG job. And the rumor is that he's advised his agents to get him that job under any circumstances. That feels like more than a rumor, doesn't it?
I don't even know why he wants the job necessarily.
What?
I mean, it's
they got Neymar for 3 more years. They obviously are going to spend money.
I don't know. I mean, it must be simply that it's better than the job at Tottenham. But PSG is not necessarily
The manager of a Chipotle in Alaska is a better manager job than manager of Tottenham. What are you talking about?
Joe Whitlock said Tottenham in free fall, right?
An Arsenal fan saying fourth place is not a trophy. I am deceased. All right, Catherine. I'm not saying it's not a – you can't put fourth in your trophy cabinet. And since you're a Tottenham fan, let me explain what a trophy cabinet is. Once you win a trophy.
I think – look, when Tottenham is playing well, it 100% feels like this is – you know, they could be competing for at least second or third place. You know, they're not.
Look, the problem is they look like a Champions League club when they're playing well.
Right.
The problem is it doesn't last.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to explain.
And you know what's funny? People were like, in my Arsenal group chat, they're like, Tottenham are bottle jobs. They're bottle jobs. And part of me wanted to be like, they might not be that this season. There's something about them that feels different in the last few weeks, and then they go and bottle it. You know, it's like, damn.
Yeah, they drew to Brentford, lost to Brighton. But Brentford is they're playing pretty well right now, so it's not that much of a shock. And I don't know if you saw this got made me a little bit emotional.
I think we're gonna beat Manchester United.
I mean, that's not saying that much, but the Christian Eriksen signing. Did you see him? He signed
the Tottenham shirt for a wheelchair bound.
Yeah,
fan,
and the guy was like so. I mean, he was like nearly in tears. He was so emotional. It was seeing the love and support that the Tottenham fans gave to Christian Eriksen when he took the corner. They gave him and they applauded him. But it was like. It kind of hit me in the feels a little bit. I was like happy to see
the man died on a football pitch.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, I didn't see it in real time, but when I'm watching back the clips, I was like, man, this is super touching. It kind of, you know what it reminded me of? It's kind of morbid to say, but is that idea of like, you wish you were able to get invited to your own funeral so you could see.
Yeah.
Kind of that thought process, like you get to see, like,
well, you are invited. You are invited to your funeral because you're there.
You know,
so
you know what? You make a good point. If anything, you're the main invitee. You know?
You're like, yo, we got to put
the guest of honor, bro.
You're number one on this list. We got to make sure you're there.
Yeah. Without you, this event doesn't happen. So thank you for dying, bro. Jamal said he was on the stairs. That means he was dying. He was on the stairs. On the stairs to heaven, by the way. Christian, what do you expect? He was on the stairs almost having a combo with Jesus.
No, but look, regardless, it's still...
He almost had a conversation with Gabriel Jesus.
Whoa. Crazy, I didn't even know they spoke the same language.
Damn, yo. He must have been like, obrigado for putting me back. Caipirinha, I would love one. Not right now, because my heart might can't take it. But people are saying that Pochettino and Conte might swap. Pochettino goes back to Tottenham.
Why? Why?
If you're Tottenham, you don't want Pochettino, right? Remember when you were managing
Everton fired
like
30
minutes ago? Now you've been. I want you now to manage Tottenham. Would you? If Conte leaves. Would you bring back Pochettino? He didn't want nothing with you anyway. The vibes were better when he was there, but he didn't win nothing with you.
I mean, he got them to a Champions League final.
And you get what for that?
You don't get anything for it, but I'm saying.
Oh, you get this, not a goddamn.
I would say, I would argue Pochettino shouldn't want to go back. And, you know, because I think he should feel a little bit insulted that they got rid of him. Bro, when
Joe Whitlock said, Joe Whitlock said, no funeral for me. Just play the Champions League theme song as you slowly dump my body in the trash.
I mean, just the imagery alone. You really put a lot of thought into this, Joe. Thank you for sharing.
Bro, that reminds me of like when we were in school, because I went to Catholic school. Our teacher, this is fourth grade, third grade. This is third grade. Teachers asked us, how do you want to die? One of the teachers asked us that.
What?
Yo, dead ass. I'm not making this up. I love that what I'm about to say should be the most shocking part, but for most people, they're like, why would you ask a group of children this? They said, how would you like to die? And most kids said, I want to die in my sleep. Everyone said, I want to die in my sleep. oh, I want to die in my sleep. I want to die in my sleep. And they got to me. I said, I want to be shot by a beautiful woman in bed. And the teacher was like, we need to have a conversation. And they made me talk to the principal. My mother got a phone call. It was a whole thing.
What does the beautiful woman have to do with?
I wanted to be shot by a beautiful woman in bed.
Is this a more honorable death that she's good looking?
I just thought it was way more lit than just going to bed and not waking up. At least I got the smash, bro.
But there's nothing in there that implies any sex. You just want to be shot by a beautiful woman in bed.
I was in third grade. What do you want me to be like? First we go with missionary. But then I'll flip that girl over. You know what I mean? And that's probably when she gets the gun because I can't see. But I'm just smashing from behind, digging her face into a pillow, right?
Right, right.
And then when I'm finally done, I lay down, but she's not finished. So she sits in my face, right? I finished the job. That's probably when she loaded the gun. And then at that point, I get shot. But, I mean, at least we both finished. Was that what you wanted me to say?
That now it provides the clarity that I needed to. Now, this is a beautiful death. This is a beautiful. And also, did you know that is that's like a saying, the beautiful death. They call, I think it's Latin or something like that. That the orgasm, the nickname for it is called the beautiful death. That there's some sort of part of you
that
is, yeah. There's a movie about that too. That's very, very good.
Yeah, it's the part of you that likes video games and computers dies every time you finish.
I mean, if Alexis read books, he would know what I'm talking about. It's all good.
Nick Red said Nork School is doing Nork. Robert from LA said, is Alexis happy for his ex Hector Bellerin for winning Copa del Rey for Real Betis? Five. Thank you for the super chat, by the way. If you want us to make sure we read something you say, super chat it, and we 100% will read it. Look, I'm super happy for Hector Bellerin. My homie's over there interviewing him right now. I don't want to say who because I don't want to give up what content they're making. But I'm super happy for him. I thought I loved him at Arsenal. I didn't think he was the right player at the moment. I wanted him to be put in a better situation. And Real Betis also seems like the dopest place to play. They throw the teddy bears on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Although didn't one of their fans like rip a piece of the stadium and throw it at a player like a pole? Other than that, they seem like a great place to play.
I got corrected. It's Le Petit Mort, which is the small death. Thank you for that clarification. But yes,
in French, you pronounce the letter at the end before an E.
Petit Mort? What is that? What you
Mort
said?
There.
I don't think
you
that's correct.
You pronounce letters before an E. You telling me I'm wrong, buddy? I've been hitting that Duolingo like crazy. Me and that owl are homies on this trip, bro.
I like this. Trish Murphy's husband said, muting this part for the 4-year-old.
smart move.
I don't know if the 4-year-old's going to Catholic school, but be careful about the questions they're about to be asked.
Also, you got about 4 years left before he needs to know how he wants to die.
Oh, my goodness. So, by
the way, Joey Gusta put absolutely fun. Alexis said, titty bears.
The one thing about Robert
and Jamal, no, I go to Paris on Friday, so no, I will not be here for West Ham, unfortunately.
The Robertis, yes, they won Copa del Rey against Valencia, and I was happy for Hector Bellerin, but I was sad for Yunus Musa, who missed the penalty in that game, in the penalty shootout. So it was a bummer that the only person who missed was the American. You hate to see it, but
you know what? He didn't pull a hamstring, which seems to be the American thing to do these days. So thank you.
But no, it's, yeah, obviously huge. That's like Hector Bellerin's like childhood club and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see he got them. It was their first trophy in 17 years. Definitely huge for Real Betis.
And you know who's angry about that? Every Sevilla fan in the world, because they absolutely despise each other.
Correct.
Shouts to a nice Cobra. Thanks for hanging out with us. Omar Ramirez said Alexis is a master at French fries, so he knows what he's talking about.
Meaning the French and French fries.
Gotcha.
I'm assuming that's.
Hey, you know who's in the chat? My homie Brush. Right?
Hey, Brush.
Brushy. Went out drinking a little bit. Shouts to Brush.
Awesome, Brush.
We watched the Tyson Fury match, boxing match.
Right, right.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, the British love heavyweight fights. I think Americans are
done
with it.
They love boxing.
We need to see flyweights and middleweights.
Every bar was full for this fight. Yeah. In America, it would have been like, I don't even, what channel am I on?
Why are these guys so fat?
Have they thought about doing ab crunches?
Brush, what was Alexis like now that you've met him in person? Is he exactly everything you thought? Was he any different? Let us know.
What's the review? What's the review?
Put it in the chat. So I think we should wrap up there. We'll wrap up with Brushy's review. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. As always, make sure you hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. We are almost at 4,000. Did we hit 4,000 yet? I don't think we did. But I don't think we did. I can check right now. But please hit that subscribe button. And as always, you can become a member here on YouTube if you'd like to support, or join our Patreon. We're going to be doing a new podcast, a No Cap Recap podcast, this week. So it should be available probably Thursday or Friday. And Alexis will share, all his stories out in London. There's been a lot of fun stuff that, he's got.
You see Brush's comment?
Brush said, LOL, he's just as he is on stream. You see?
I told you, I only got one gear, bro.
The authenticity is quite accurate. You know, a lot of times people, they look at content creators and they're like, oh, but are they like different? Are they, you know, they have an ego. No, bro. This is it. This is us.
Yeah,
okay?
Man. I only know one way to be. There was a moment where the security guard came to tell us that they were going to remove the tables because so many people were going to filter into the bar for the fight. We had gotten to the bar a little bit before that. And I just started like bantering with the security guard, trying to get them to like not move the table further back. So I'm like, let me distract them by just like bullshitting with them. And we ended up having like a great conversation. But I looked at Brushy and he was like, oh no, he does this with everyone. Like you can see on Brushy's face. He was like, oh, this is, it doesn't matter if someone's in front of them, they are now Alexis's audience.
Yeah, there could be times where it can be a little embarrassing where I'm like, Alexis, you could dial it down to like at least a six, you know? But he...
And I was like, my dial broke, baby. I can't go down.
It's stuck at 11. I can't help you. So, but like always, thank you so much for joining us. I'll be back here tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Shouts to U.S. It's going to be our American soccer show. And we're going to be joined by a special guest. It's going to be Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show. Will be joining me because Alexis is unavailable because he is out in London, Londoning. So he'll be,
which is what they call it here.
So, yeah.
Tali said, plot twist, real life Alexis likes bagels. Don't you dare spill those horrific rumors out there about me.
So Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show will be joining me. It'll be a lot of fun. So come through tomorrow, and hop in the chat. And Alexis will be on, it's our birthdays, obviously, coming up in the next couple of days. Alexis will be on vacation in Paris. I will still be doing the show, and I will have other co-hosts next Monday and Tuesday. So look out for that. It'll be a lot of fun. But as always, thanks for the support, and thanks for hanging out with us, everybody, here on YouTube. If you listen to this podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or leave 5 stars on Spotify. And join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We got that No Cap Recap podcast coming soon this week, so look out for that. Anything else, Alexis? Any other parting words before we go?
No, thank you to everyone who stopped me at the stadium that, you know, says they listen to the content or they've seen me on videos or they've seen people asking me where Christian was, all that kind of stuff, man. It's been absolutely incredible. You know, the more and more Christian and I try to make ourselves a bit more, get a little more exposure in this side of the conversation of football, it's been not easy, and we understand our accents, are a big hurdle for some people.
Bro,
more traditionally,
TikTok is literally anytime we post a clip, they're like, "Goddamn Americans, why are they talking about this game? They don't know anything about the game."
Yo, you remember when I was like, "Yo, I did Arsenal Fan TV, and the fans love me." Well, let me tell you what happens over at United View. It is not the same reaction. I have been called a clown and told to go back to baseball. multiple times. And part of me is like, is that an American thing? Or are you trying to mess with me for being Cuban, bro? like you being racist right now? But the love we do actually get, and it may not be it may not be everybody, unfortunately, but the love that we do get absolutely means the best. It means the most. It means a lot. That's probably what I should be saying.
It means mucho, okay?
it means things. No, but it really does. It's part of why we keep going. We keep trying hard. It's, folks like Brush and stuff like that who were like, nah, man. And Brush actually said, he was like, I was like, what's the reason why you started watching us? And he was like, everyone out here takes it very serious. So it's nice to have one or two places that, do it from a comedic angle where you can just have a good time. And that's what we hope to get across to people. So the fact that y'all are finding us and liking what we do, and to everybody who sticks with us while we try to split this up and talk about American and Europe and stuff, you guys are the absolute best. And we love how much we're building, and we love how far we're going. So for everyone who stopped me and said something nice, man, thank you so much. It means the world to me, and we ain't going to stop.
Let's go. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for hanging out. We appreciate you in the chat. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, so come through. Have a good rest of your day, everybody, and enjoy it. A lot of games this week. I have Champions League, a lot going on, so it's going to be a lot to talk about. All right, take care, everybody. Peace.